T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Had we known what Colin Cowherd's wish was, we could have just shipped Rich Keefe down to Augusta,
Georgia.
Yeah,
I would have gone after him. Yeah, as long as there's, you know, not hills. There's hills.
There's a lot of hills.
Everybody's
there.
In
there's
trouble.
There's a lot of hills.
Everybody's in trouble then at that point.
Hour number four, fourth and final hour, Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio WEEI. I know they kind of spread these things out, but there will be a Celtics playoff game tomorrow night.
That's right.
Bruins play tomorrow night. Red Sox play the Yankees tomorrow night. Sort of a cup runneth over kind of
thing. Yeah, I really blame the NBA for how they do things, because the Celtics should play tonight. And yes, they'd also be going up against Chris Sale, but at least they're on a different night than the Bruins. Bruins and Celtics shouldn't be on the same night. They should just figure out a way, have them stagger it every other night. It'd work out better for everybody. Unfortunately, the NBA does it the way that they do it.
Celtics did their job in game one.
Yeah.
After a stern talking to from their coach at halftime, apparently.
Yes.
They were down by 7 at the half.
Right. Turned things around pretty nicely. The Pacers can't score, as it turns out. I thought Bogdanovich was going to be able to carry their scoring. I think he had double figures, but everybody else, it was just bad. I mean, 84-74 is embarrassing.
Yeah.
The Pacers scored 8 points in the third quarter. So it's one of those where, like, hey, you know, the Celtics defense was great. You're like, yeah, the Celtics defense was good. The Pacers just can't make shots. And I still don't think it's one of those things where you see the one game and you're like, oh, this is going to be a sweep. And I know Scal said sweep. Scal's been on all the shows and he's saying sweep everywhere.
He told us that.
He told us that first. He told us first.
We were first, damn it.
He's on in the morning. He'll be on in the afternoon. I'm sure he'll be doing nights and weekends. But he is.
We also call him Mark James.
Mark James. He could. He'll probably be on the next Mark James experience, would be my guess.
Or Wiggy.
He'll probably have Scal. I'll be talking to those guys. But I still think there's a chance they could go to Indiana and lose a game or two. Like, do you trust this team on the road yet? I don't. Last year, they won one road playoff game. This year, in the regular season, they were a bad road team. There's not a lot of great road teams. That might be what separates you from you know, the elite teams in the league. But I wouldn't be shocked if this series, just because first game one, the Pacers look so bad, I don't think it's going to be a sweep. I really don't.
No, we both thought that the Celtics would win this series, but
yeah.
Neither of us thought that there was going to be any sweeping going
no,
on.
No, I don't. I mean, still, and on the other hand, the Celtics only scored 84 points. So it's not like there's this unbelievable dominant effort. They struggled. It wasn't like an effort thing or anything like that. They turned the ball over a bunch, and they couldn't hit shots. Like, neither team could hit shots. It was like watching the Knicks and the Heat from, like, the late 90s playoff runs. And you're like, ugh. I mean, it wasn't quite as physical as that, obviously, but it was just 84. What was the score of the Warriors game last night? 135-131? And then you have 84-74. Like, is this the same sport? What's going on?
I think it was the most points the Sixers have ever scored in an NBA playoff game.
Oh, 145. The Sixers scored 145.
They had 145.
Yeah. They had a 51-point quarter. Think about that. The Sixers scored 51 points in the third. The Pacers scored 8. Like, in like back-to-back days or whatever it was, like within a 3-day span. That is insane. And oh, by the way, the Raptors lost, you know, so I mean, it's still going to be Toronto coming out. But yeah, the NBA playoffs have been, you know, a little bit more interesting, I think. Usually the first round, it's pretty chalk, and then after that you get some really good matchups, but first round, there's already been some surprises.
I asked this question in the office earlier before we came on the air today. Is the Clippers' escape from 31 down to beat the Golden State Warriors comparable to the Patriots 28-3? Not in terms of how I know how big the
no,
game.
I know the game, but just the actual individual game. No, I think it's, even though it's not that it happens every day, but I think it's easier to come back from 31 in a basketball game than 25 in a football game.
Although,
especially with the time.
Not that many teams come back from 31 down,
No, they don't. They really don't.
Right.
But I just, the way teams shoot threes now, I mean, you can score a lot of points quickly in the, sort of the back and forth nature. Whereas when you're watching a football team have a big lead like that, that team's going to get the ball back and just don't give it away. Like, if you're the Falcons, run the ball one more time.
Yeah.
Or, like, don't take a sack there. Like, there are certain things. It's harder to screw that up, I think, if you're the Falcons. If you're the Warriors, still, it's embarrassing, and you can't, that can't happen. But
can they lose? Could the Warriors theoretically? I mean, now Boogie Cousins is done.
Yeah.
It seems like for the rest of these playoffs.
But and I love Boogie, as you know. But in a weird way,
he doesn't
want
to be Boogie anymore. By the way, I'm sorry, DeMarcus.
Oh, DeMarcus
doesn't want to be Boogie anymore.
I love DeMarcus, but there's a chance. And like one of the arguments is, are they better without him? Like they've obviously had a ton of success without him. No, but just the way they play.
Right, right.
I mean, I could see it. It's not like saying, oh, they're better without Durant because they have a good record without Durant. Like that's not it. But Cousins does kind of change a little bit what they do. So, no, they won't lose. They obviously lost a game. Like, they're not going to sweep every team, but they...
And it's pertinent just because we're looking at a Tampa Bay Lightning team that's, you know,
yeah,
down 3-0 and
crazy.
Could be swept out of the playoffs tonight, and a Golden State team that blew a 31-point lead to the Clippers and lost the game.
31-point lead is insane, but they'll probably still win the series in five games.
You would think.
They'll come back and win the next three and keep going from there. You know, Denver even lost at home. You know, they're the two seed out west. They lost their first game. Toronto lost their first game. Philly lost their first game. So I don't know how many of these upsets are gonna hold, but at least these series are a little bit more interesting than we thought.
The hell is going on in the playoffs?
I don't know. What up is down, down is up. What,
we can't figure it out. By the way, one quick update. According to John Heyman, he is now reporting that, and again, not exactly a shock, Chris Sale will be caught by Sandy Leone tonight.
There you go. That's why they're bringing him up.
There'd be no reason to bring him up today if that wasn't the case.
If he wasn't going to play,
you
right?
know, and
because you can't put him at second base.
Probably not.
No.
Ian Brown brought up the point because when it happened yesterday, when I was on the pregame show for the Red Sox Radio Network for that one brief shining moment.
It was great. That was one of
Will
the best
Fleming
pregames
Maloney,
they've had. Yeah.
I said, you know, you've got Blake Swihart who goes all over the place. You know, he plays here, he plays there, he plays outfield, plays infield. And you really have desperate need for a second baseman in yesterday's game. You don't want to play Pedroia there because of the wet field. Nunez is sick. Holt is out. You know, you really have desperate need. So why wouldn't you play Blake Swihart at second base and catch Christian Vasquez? Instead, you ask Vasquez to play second base for the first time in his career. And Ian Brown points out, maybe what the Red Sox wanted was to give Swihart one more game behind the plate for other teams to look at.
Maybe. Be like, see, we didn't ruin him. He is a catcher. See, guys, he's a catcher. Oh, I'm sure they tried trading him. I mean, you don't just dump a guy, right? Like, you have to be putting in some calls and just wasn't coming back from around the league. Like, I wonder if he gets claimed. Like, with some team... Like, how much has he sunk? Because what was he going back 4 or 5 years ago as far as prospect ratings? He was up there. Like, he was a guy that a lot of teams liked back when the Red Sox had a really good farm system. He was one of those guys. But I don't know. Maybe I'm missing something with Swihart. Like, is he a good baseball player?
Like,
I think the answer is no.
I was telling you, I was reading Bill Simmons on Twitter, who is, like, despondent that they've DFA'd Swihart. He says... You DFA Pedroia, you keep Swihart. And I'm thinking, you must think a lot more of Blake Swihart than I do.
I
don't mean you,
do.
I mean
no,
Bill,
I understand
Simmons.
Bill
yeah.
Simmons. I know, I don't see it. He's 27, by the way. He's not 22. What, you have the number?
He was number 18 leading into 2015 on the top 100 prospects.
Yeah, like that's serious. And I bet he was one or two as far as catchers.
The
like he was up
number
there.
One catcher and the first number one, like the highest ranked catcher since Buster Posey. Like,
because that
the
was
promise.
The comparisons were out of control. I remember that back in 2015, they said Blake Swihart's in the system. He's Buster Posey. Christian Vasquez is in the system. He's Yadier Molina. You're like, are you kidding me? Those are two of the best catchers in the last 15 years. And then what you got is Vasquez. I don't know what you compare Vasquez to. I mean, who's the worst Molina brother? Jose? He's worse than Jose Molina. And then you have Blake Swihart, who has played parts of, I mean, really parts of, five seasons. Yeah, I mean, 2015 and last year are the 2 years that he played the most. He's a 255 career hitter with a 679 OPS, 9 career home runs, and he's never been known for defense. Hence why they tried him in left field and at first base. So this is not going to make or break your team at all. I'm honestly surprised he started the year with the team. Like, they obviously could. There's no market for them. There's no value. Unfortunately, some of these top 20 prospects don't make it. And to me, he's an example of that. Like, okay, he's 27, so he's not out of the league just yet. Maybe he gets an opportunity and he turns things around, but I don't know. I certainly have never seen it with Blake Swihart.
So we've got Celtics playoff action tomorrow night against Indiana to talk about. Bruins playoff loss last night in Toronto to talk about. The Red Sox apparently have made a move, a roster move. They, and I say apparently because they haven't announced this, but enough other people have reported it. They've DFA'd Blake Swihart. His career with the Red Sox is apparently at an end. They will call Sandy Leon up from the Pawtucket Red Sox, and according to John Heyman, he will catch for Chris Sale tonight. And the thing here is, does it make a damn bit of difference? I mean, in terms of Sale's performance.
For the pitchers?
I mean,
I think it will.
Is it the catcher's fault if Chris Sale is delivering the ball middle, and it gets golfed out to over the wall and left? I mean, is that the catcher's fault?
No, I mean, some of the mislocations are not his fault, but maybe some of the pitches would have been different. I think there's something about pitchers throwing to a certain guy. Greg Maddux is one of the all-time great pitchers. He wanted to throw to Eddie Perez. Javi Lopez is one of the best catchers in the league, like, at least hitting-wise, and yet he wanted to throw to Eddie Perez. How big of a difference would it have been? I don't know, but he was more comfortable throwing to him. Was it John Lester with David Ross for a while? Lester felt more comfortable with him. So is it all mental? I don't know. I mean, a good amount of it probably is. But if those guys like throwing to him more, especially when the difference at the plate isn't that significant, I don't know why you don't go for it. You don't give it a shot. It was all of last season. We saw how much better he was with most of the pitchers.
Well, Chris Sale will be the beneficiary tonight, apparently, and it is an earlier start. Now, somebody texted or tweeted at me and said the Yankees apparently play their April starts at this earlier 6:30 time.
That's weird. I don't get it. How about these ERAs for your Red Sox starting pitchers? Nathan Eovaldi, 8.40. Eduardo Rodriguez, 7.98. Rick Porcello, 11.12. Chris Sale, 9. All of those guys have had 3 starts, by the way. The only one under 4 is David Price. Actually, under 4. The only one under 7.5 is David Price, who has a 3.79 after that last really good start. They've been atrocious. And Chris Sale's K per 9, 5.5.
And last year was like
13 or whatever. Like, yeah. It's for his career, it's like 11. 5.5. So they've all been really disappointing. But, like, Rick Porcello, I don't even think is great. So, like, Chris Sale, just based off of not just the contract, but the player that he is, you expected the most out of him. And he has been far from who we hoped that he'd be.
So, over-under with Chris Sale tonight, strikeouts. We'll set it at 4.
Under.
Over.
How many innings is he going, though? 4?
Well, you got to go 5.5.
Then they got to work him up. Maybe one day he'll go 4 1/3. Maybe one day he'll go 4 2/3.
Then he'll throw on flat ground for a while.
Yes. How far is he throwing from? 60 feet? 90 feet? What is he doing? Yeah, it's just been
And I take the over only because the Yankees have
nobody in
a triple-A roster. Well, hell, Baltimore had a triple-A roster.
I was
going to
say, Baltimore always has a triple-A roster. Even the A's and the Mariners, their lineups aren't... Actually, the Mariners are hitting the crap out of it. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, so... All eyes are going to be on Salem, as you said earlier, Dale, just, you know, looking not just at the speed, but those guys, the Blue Jays were like mocking Sale after the game. They're like, yeah, we don't look at last year's tape. Why would you? He's not even close to that guy anymore. It's a comfortable at bat against Sale. But that's not good.
By the way, if you were wondering, and I know you were, Sandy Leon at Pawtucket so far this year is hitting a robust 120.
Don't care.
No, I know.
Don't care at all. It's better than Pedroia.
We knew that he wasn't going to hit. I mean, that's not the point. That's not why he's here.
Right. No, that none of that.
They are willing to put up with a black hole in the batting order because they think their pitchers are better with this guy behind the plate.
Problem is,
does it make the pitchers soft as puppy poo if they have to have this guy in order to be able to throw the ball right?
Yeah, but they're mostly mental cases, aren't they, pitchers? They probably are anyway.
Some are.
So that's fine. But can you get by with 3 black holes in the lineup? Pedroia, Bradley, Leon.
I mean, I guess the assumption would be that two of them will not be black holes forever.
They shouldn't be.
Right. But this guy will be.
This guy will be, and that's fine. But that's an important defensive position. And if he lowers the pitcher's ERAs by four runs or whatever, I mean, he's come in there, and he'll get a lot of the credit no matter what. Because as you said, it's going to level off. Like, Rick Porcello is not going to end the year with an 11 ERA. It might be 5, but it's not going to be an 11. So he's going to lower that regardless. So if that starts tonight, then Leon's going to get even more credit than maybe he deserves. And I'm somebody that's wanted him up here since day one.
Do you think the offense changes because they're in Yankee Stadium?
No.
If it changes, it won't be because they're at Yankee Stadium. It'll be partly because Mookie Betts, as he said yesterday, the way I'm playing is unacceptable, and he starts playing like what we're used to seeing. You know, that he goes out there and looks like an American League MVP instead of like a guy who's scuffling around.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, obviously it's a hitter-friendly park. More so for the lefties, though, right? And so we'll see. I mean, maybe they'll turn things around a little bit. And I know Merlone's thing was, you know, the Yankees, maybe it just gives them a little bit more juice. Maybe. But it's not even like a full squad of the Yankees, right? They have so many guys that are hurt. And I know it's that uniform. Maybe you should get a little bit more excited to play them. But
well, Aaron Judge is still playing. He's not hurt yet.
Good. Yeah, he's any day now. Could go down.
Greg Bird went on the IL today. So
exactly.
They're continuing to fall like flies. 617-779-7937. Greg's in Agawam. Hey, Greg.
Hey, I might have missed the any debate you guys had, but I mean, do you guys have an opinion about whether Swihart was the right guy to let go versus Vasquez?
I could go with either one of those guys. I just wanted Leon up. I remember we had the conversation in spring training saying if you could only have two catchers, who would they be? And I said Sandy Leon and one of the other two. So I could be talked in either way. I don't think either one of them are any good.
I take it you're asking the question because you think it should have been Vasquez.
Well, here's another question then. Do you think Vasquez maybe upped his value a little when he was able to go out and play a really good second base yesterday?
No.
Okay.
I think he did fine, and I think that was like sort of a one-off type of thing. Hopefully you don't have to do that many more times. Think about it. You have all these guys that should be able to play second base, and you got to stick a catcher out there. Like, that's not ideal, but that's just what it was for the day. I don't think his trade value goes up, down, or anything else because of that. I don't think any of the catchers had any trade value.
There are
hence they've released two of them.
Yeah. There are people out there who just are so firmly on the Blake Swihart fan train. We told you about Bill Simmons. Chris Hatfield, who I follow on Twitter, who writes for SoxProspects.com, is practically despondent about this. He just can't believe that they've DFA'd Swihart.
Well, what does he do well, Blake Swihart?
Well, he even writes in his little Twitter rant here, he says, it is possible that Blake Swihart is a backup MLB catcher at best now.
All right, see you later then.
Okay.
Bye.
All right. Now, his point is, this guy used to be a former top 25 prospect in the game, but
he's
sometimes
not.
Top 25 prospects don't end up being, you know,
a lot of
major
times,
league stars.
Jurickson Profar was the number one prospect for like two or three straight years. What the hell is Jurickson Profar doing right now? I think he actually is in the majors, but he's like a platoon player. Yeah, I think I saw him, like, I was watching a lot of baseball opening day, and I think he was on a roster. You can find that. But that's the thing, is those prospect ratings only help you so much. Yeah, he's on the A's. Yeah, maybe he played against the Red Sox, actually. But he stinks. So if you're upset about a backup catcher, I thought a bigger deal was just dumping Hanley Ramirez last year. Now, that worked, and they ended up being just
hugely
fine. But remember at the time, they couldn't hit lefties as a team. And you're like, well, Hanley can do that. Why don't you just keep him and do that? But Cora knew clubhouse-wise it wasn't going to work with Hanley not playing every day. But he's a better player than Blake Swihart is. Like, who gives a crap about Blake Swihart?
If we think that the DFAing of Swihart and Sandy Leon's ascension and presumably going right behind the plate tonight, you know what move two in the reactionary train will be tonight?
What's that?
Mookie will be back in the leadoff spot.
Yeah, but he was it game three? Like, he's been in the two spot more than the leadoff spot, but he has let off a couple of times. But yeah, they got to get him going. We had the stats earlier, and there's been, you know, Alex Speer, Fangraphs, a few other places have been talking about it. Mookie Betts isn't swinging at pitches. He's not swinging the bat. He's, as far as guys that, you know, are everyday players, he's right at the bottom of the league at number of pitches that he swings at. And it's not like guys are completely avoiding throwing to him. It's not like he walks a million times. It's not like Barry Bonds back in the day where he would just come up there and they would just walk him every time. So that's going to change, and maybe it is putting him in the leadoff spot. I think that's worth a shot.
Jerome's in Scituate. Hey, Jerome.
Hey, Dale and Rich, how are you?
Good. Good. How are you?
Good. Hey, listen, about Sandy Leon, right? I think it was 2 years ago. He batted 310 with almost 300 at-bats, and I think he's underrated as a hitter. He's wicked streaky.
Well, the streaky is the tough part here.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the bad streaks are more prevalent than the good streaks.
Well, I'm not saying he's Jackie Bradley. I know that, but I mean Jackie Bradley's streaky too.
Yeah, he is. There's problems with him, but I mean Sandy Leon didn't have the good. He hasn't had a hot streak since 2016.
2 years ago, yeah. 3 years ago now.
That's the problem.
That was a great streak he was on, though.
It really was. You're not wrong about that.
There's a long stretch in between there, though,
yeah,
Jerome.
And a bit of a gap.
Well, you kind of got me there.
Well, fair enough. All right.
So
it happens.
Jason Mastrodonato tweets out the following stats. Red Sox record when Blake Swihart starts behind the plate. They're 45-61.
Not good.
A .425 winning percentage.
Give me the Sandy numbers.
Sandy Leon starts behind the plate. 152-104, a .594 winning percentage. Now, as Mastrodonato points out, there's more to the story than numbers, but those numbers are pretty dramatic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I just, again, you go off of what all the pitchers say about him, it's overwhelming. Rick Porcello said he's the best catcher he has ever thrown to. And he's thrown to a bunch of catchers. Like, he's been on a couple of teams, thrown to a lot of catchers, and they love the guy. And if that helps them, then you got to go with it. Now, it's one thing if Vasquez or Swihart are hitting the cover off the ball, and you say, hey, guess what? You're a professional pitcher. Figure it out. But when those guys also aren't hitting, why not just go with the guy they like throwing to?
617-779-7937 is the telephone number.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Back to Dale and Keefe on the exclusive home of the Red Sox, WEEI.
Good job by Evan Drellick. The Red Sox have now made it official. Catcher utility player Blake Swihart was designated for assignment. This is the Red Sox announcing their roster moves. Catcher Sandy Leon and right-handed pitcher Erasmo Ramirez were selected to the active roster from AAA Pawtucket.
All right. Welcome back, Erasmo.
And I'll be shocked if the rest of it doesn't fall true that, you know, we'll see that he'll be the starting catcher tonight as well.
Yeah, I would imagine he's going to start probably a bunch of games in a row. I think everybody's going to be requesting that they throw to Sandy again.
Well, they'll get an opportunity here. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Paul's in Abington. Hey, Paul.
Hey, gentlemen. How you doing?
What's good. Going on?
Hey, real quick, as far as the Red Sox are concerned, they won a championship last year. And for the most part, and you may disagree with this, they really only have four good and above hitters on that lineup, last year and this year included. You've got Betts, you've got Benintendi, you've got Bogaerts, and you got JD. After that, I mean, you're talking about your two or three hitters at the bottom. It's really not a great hitting lineup after those first four. Devers hasn't developed yet. Moreland is average at best. He's having a good start to the season, but I don't expect that to continue. And then after that, I mean, you're talking about Pedroia, Sandy and Bradley, but that's not a great hitting lineup.
No, it's not. So the question is, like, how many guys can you carry that way? Like, because Sandy he's not just an
last year.
Yeah. I'm just saying, but they had, like, as you pointed out, Devers was still a 20 home run guy. Mitch Moreland was an all-star in the first half. I'm not saying it's the greatest lineup in the world, but if you look at it right now, it would be even worse. Like, nobody has nine great hitters. Like, the was the 03 Red Sox that had, like, the when Bill Miller won the batting title hitting ninth. Like,
right.
You know, those teams don't happen. Or, like, they got the teams that have seven or eight guys hitting 20 home runs.
The Wisconsin Red Sox, where everybody hit 20 home runs,
yeah,
on the team.
Very, very rare. So, the caller's right in the sense that you have four elite-level guys. So, it's where do you put them in the lineup, you know, with Mookie and Benintendi, Martinez and Bogarts. But so you need more from other guys. But there's a difference, too, between a guy going out there and, you know, hitting 240 and you're like, yeah, he's fine. Or, you know, Pedroia's hitting like 100. J.D. Martinez or Jackie Bradley's hitting like a buck 40. And then Sandy Leone's going to come up here and also hit like a buck 20. That's tough to stomach. Like, those guys are going to have to do better.
Rick's in Connecticut. Hey, Rick.
Hi, guys. I just had a thought, the possibility. I wonder if the other day, you know, when Christian Vasquez played second,
that was yesterday, yep.
Well, okay, that came out of the blue and everybody was shocked. Is it possible that Swihart outright refused to play second when asked, or maybe hesitated, and they're making a point here?
It's possible, but unlikely, because somebody would have had it by now if that was the case. You know, teams are better than they used to be at keeping things under wraps, but. First of all, I don't picture Blake Swihart refusing to play second base. They've used him all over the place.
What
would be the difference?
In his career, Swihart, besides catching, has played left field, right field, first base, third base, and second base.
And Christian Vasquez, in his professional career, has never played second base.
Right.
I have a hard time picturing that Vasquez is, no.
I mean, Swihart
I'm catching
only did it
for this nine.
Swihart only did it, I think, for a couple innings or whatever it was. But still, he's moved all around. I think he just wants to play.
See, I was even wondering whose glove Christian Vasquez was using, because I'm guessing he doesn't have one.
Yeah, probably not. I mean, Nunez, Holt,
yeah.
Pedroia, somebody like that would be my guess. But yeah, I mean, Swihart has played all over the place. They need somebody to play second, somebody to catch, and that's what they came up with yesterday. But I don't know. It sounds like, if anybody's upset about, and clearly people are, I mean, you read Bill Simmons' tweet and some of these other guys that even cover the team, I feel like they might still be living on the potential, like back in 2015 when he was a top prospect. You know, it's four or five seasons later.
It's been a while.
I don't think he's really developed into that.
Bob's in Taunton. Hey, Bob.
Hey, Rich. I'd like to ask your opinion.
Sure.
What do you think of this guy, big union man, Ray Bourque, crossing the picket line at Stop and Shop yesterday?
Unbelievable. The guy wanted a Gatorade. Ridiculous? What does he do? Go somewhere else.
I know. He's a disgrace.
Unbelievable.
The man is an absolute disgrace.
I know. Is that your thought?
It seems the big stars, these Boston big stars,
yeah.
Ray Bourque, when he was playing, he was a crybaby for the union, and now
right.
He crosses a picket line. The people were yelling at him. He wouldn't say a word. He ran in his car like a little baby.
Yeah. Were you there? You work for Stop and Shop,
Bob?
He's
a disgraceful human being.
You should call him. Give him a buzz.
Thank you. That's it.
Great call, Bob. Does he work at Stop and Shop or like in limbo there?
He didn't seem inclined to answer that question.
Didn't specify. And, very fired up.
And he didn't want to talk to me. So
why was he talking to me?
I don't think he even wanted to talk to you either, Keith. He actually didn't respond to anything you said.
He didn't really say anything to me. He thinks he's a despicable human being because he went to Stop and Shop.
Seems a little strong to me for that particular infraction.
Do what you want out there.
Which he's already apologized for and said he was sorry, he made the mistake.
He said he's going to go pick it with him. Well, that seems a little much, too. But hey, you know, you fight for your fight.
Do you think when he goes to
fight,
pick it with him, he's going to go in the store first, grab a couple things?
I mean, you need to get like a snack or like a refreshment.
And a blue Gatorade.
Yeah. Yeah, jeez. So, any end in sight for that? Or are we still... We're still fighting that thing, huh?
That ain't ending anytime soon.
Right.
Really? I mean, I don't know much about how long it's going to go. But
it's out of the rotation for me anyway. Like, I'm not going now.
Stop and Shop management's playing hardball.
But a lot of the other spots I hit up when I'm forced to go. I hate grocery shopping. It's not my favorite activity.
Oh, I like it.
I get lost, and I get hungry, and then I want to buy it. It's just the whole thing.
Then you eat your way out of
yeah,
the store.
Yeah, it's no good.
Oh, look.
It's not good.
Ho-ho's.
Oh, wait, look, that's a good deal on mini donuts. I should probably get those.
So the real question is, now that you both have kind of admitted it, if you eat something while shopping, do you pay for it?
I've never eaten anything while shopping. Occasionally, when you go to the deli counter and order half a pound of cheese, they'll give you a slice, you know, let you try it.
Oh, sure they do.
Now, that's different, but I've never opened up a package and eaten. Now, I see moms do that with kids all the time.
Oh, my mom used to do that with me all the time.
I bet she did.
Yeah, she was like, do something.
Little Richie eat some more cookies.
Yeah,
so and he ate it real fast.
Yeah, but then we would wring it out. Like, I would have, like, a drink and, like, a like animal crackers or something, and then you get to the end and you just wring it out.
But your mom intended that to last for like a couple hours, but you eat so fast.
I'll just woof it down. I have to get a new thing every aisle.
Like, here another you go. Box
try
of
these.
Animal crackers.
Try these. I'm like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, we have to say before the show again, we have you guys, you know, doing a couple things for the show. And Keith,
it was a little sad this morning.
What was sad about today?
We needed you to record something, and as soon as Dale was done, we're like, all right, Keith, you're up. You grab a sandwich
that Bill Smith had given him.
Yeah, he brought it in a breakfast sandwich. I usually don't eat that early, but it looked great.
You could have fooled me.
Yeah, fire that down.
Vacuumed that thing.
I usually don't eat till like 2:30, but I was like, you know what? If he's going to bring that in for me.
You know, we have discussed in the past how quickly you eat things.
Yeah.
You actually have to see it to believe it.
Oh, it's incredible. Yeah. It's a real problem. I think it's bad for you, actually, your physical health, but I've been at this long.
You're talking to the wrong guy about physical health, but I can't say it is scary to see somebody eat something so fast, especially it always happens right before we need you to do something.
Yeah.
Well, he was hungry. It was a long walk to the production room.
Right. What do you want me to do?
He wanted to leave some crumbs to find his way back.
Yeah, that's good.
Just takes one bite and it looks like the fingernail moon, like just a little bit left.
Yeah, I didn't one bite it. I'm not a savage.
You could have.
I really could have.
You would try.
It was a good sandwich.
First, it was the muffin a few weeks ago during the trending.
Yeah. I've seen that one.
Yeah, muffin
during trending.
That's fine.
I mean,
yeah.
It's like, I have to talk now.
Oh, yeah.
Hold on, be right to you.
When we were at the Cask and Flagon, I ate a whole order of buffalo tenders in one break.
Oh yeah, I saw it. I witnessed it with my own eyes.
Yeah, I ate the whole order in one break.
The whole order.
Yeah, the whole order in one break.
Did you share?
He left the celery though. He didn't eat that.
No, I picked at that later. But all the delicious chicken went down real fast.
Which order? Buffalo wings and Diet Coke.
No.
No. No Coke.
No.
Oh, we had nice water. Thank you.
And a nice water.
And a sit.
Yeah.
Sam's in Exeter. Hey, Sam.
Hey, how are you?
Good. Go right ahead, Sam.
Oh, fantastic. Well, I just want to talk about the Blake Swihart designation. I think it's fantastic, actually.
Do you also work at Stop and Shop? Oh, no, I'm sorry. That was a different discussion.
That was a previous caller.
Yeah, thanks. Why are you so fired up about him being designated for assignment?
Well, it's not like he couldn't hit water if he fell out of a boat, but it was getting there. And, you know, it was obvious the staff didn't have any confidence in him. And, you know, if you look at Sandy's...
Oh, boy.
Wow.
Come on, Rossi. What's the matter with you?
Are you having a bad day? Are you hangry now, too?
Come on.
No, I just went down with that guy. That was ridiculous. I even let him go too long.
Yeah, he was a little bit.
I thought there was going to be a comedy factor to
it. But he had a good, strong opinion. He thought Blake Swihart's no good and was thrilled with the move. And then I'm like, okay, why? And the next thing you know, the music plays and he's gone.
No, he told you. He started to tell you, but it was nothing new. Thanks. Moving on.
Seemed a little abrupt.
All right.
Give another person a shot. Let's see if they make it.
You are just.
Yeah, but they probably don't.
An angry guy. Mike's in Draken. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys, how are we doing today?
Good,
what's
Mike?
Going on?
I first of all, two calls ago, cannot believe he called Ray Bork a despicable human being. That's just disgusting that he even, that came out of his mouth.
Seemed a little strong to me.
Big union guy, Mike. You know how it is.
Probably having a bad day or whatever, right?
Yeah, it could be.
So, guys, I wanted to say something about the Bruins. And Dale, I know a couple hours back I was listening to you. I'm not saying they suck. So I'm talking about just last night's game only.
I didn't even think they sucked last night.
I don't think they sucked. Here's the little things that bother me, Dale. I don't know. Maybe you saw the same thing or whatever. But it's the cutesy passes behind the back down two. It's standing in front of the net. I don't know if it looked like they were what's his name? It looked like Krug was confused in front of his own net. You know, like maybe he lost sight of the puck or something. But it's just. I'm like, guys, come on. Hello, you know.
I will say this, and we mentioned this earlier on in the program. I wonder, you know, in both Krug and DeBrusk's case, I wonder how you know, completely healthy and ready to go they were. Because both guys seemed off their games.
Yeah, it did not look right for either one of them. You know, and DeBrusk, I was surprised when they came out and said, nope, no concussion. You know, like,
I was even more surprised at Krug.
Yeah, maybe,
I really was. You know, the way he hit the back of his head. And his helmet came off, unlike Svechnikov, whose helmet at least stayed on. In Krug's case, his helmet came off. He hit the back of his head against the boards as hard as he did. I was shocked Krug played. I was surprised DeBrusk played. And I probably shouldn't be surprised that, you know, maybe in both cases they were a little off their games a little bit. 617-779-7937. What else you got coming up in just a few minutes? Dale and Keith.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Sports Radio, WEEI.
Take Dale and Keefe with you wherever you go. Download the radio.com app. Now back to Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
All right, let's squeeze in another call or two before we get to what else you got. Jim's at Lowell. Hey, Jim, how you doing?
Afternoon, boys. You know what? Right to the point. It's about time they woke up and recalled Sandy Leon.
That's right.
You know what? Here is one quick point to it, though. I don't know why they're twisting themselves into a pretzel to protect Dustin Pedroia and spotting the roster. They should have sent him on a rehab assignment on the disabled list because clearly his knee is bad, and they should have kept Swihart as a utility guy. But getting back to Leon, a team that relies so much on statistics and analytics, how could they possibly ignore the success that the pitching staff had pitching to him in comparison to Swihart? It was just unbelievable to me they cut him, and they're very fortunate he wasn't claimed on waivers.
Yeah, I think like you said, they are focused on stats, and they also probably saw his 5.11 OPS from a year ago. He hit .177 for a full season. It's almost like having a pitcher hit when he comes up. And trust me, I am more so on the caller side than not. I think the pitchers love throwing to him, and it's also not like Vasquez or Blake Swihart hit it all anyway. It's one thing if you had, you know, like Joe Mauer in his prime or Sandy Leon, then too bad, you got to play Mauer and the pitchers need to figure it out. But when all of them suck at hitting, the guy that at least gets the most out of the pitchers, he's the one that should be in the lineup.
All right, let's get to a couple of stories that we maybe missed throughout the course of the program.
What else you got?
There you go.
There it is.
You want to go first?
I will go first. Obviously, Tiger Woods, the big comeback story over the weekend.
I hadn't heard about this.
Yeah, he won the Masters.
Really?
Yeah, golf tournament.
Wow.
From the weekend. Early action on Sunday because of the weather.
I was a big fan.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
I like 9 a.m. Sunday morning golf.
And here's Tiger Woods. So he wins, and Colin Cowherd, he found himself in a weird spot, rooting for Tiger.
And yesterday, for the first time in my life, I rooted against other golfers. Yesterday, I'm not proud to admit this, I was hoping Francisco Molinari got run over by a golf cart for most of the afternoon.
Really?
We shouldn't love Tiger this much, right? 90% of us don't play golf. Several books written, not complimentary of his choices. But yesterday was the greatest comeback in the history of American sports, in my opinion. Tiger had no business even being there.
Finally, sex addicts everywhere have that poster boy, Dale, that role model where you can live that life and then still come back and win the Masters.
A lot of folks did have a hard time separating the Tiger Woods personal problems, which
yeah,
a lot of people were upset about, and I don't blame them, but they wanted to ignore the fact that, A, he got treated for whatever his issues were.
Well, he was addicted to sex.
Is there such a thing?
I don't think so, but that's what he said.
I'm just saying. So, and you know, turned his life around,
right,
got then overcame four back surgeries, including a back fusion, ACL surgery.
Oh, yeah, tons.
Had gone 11 years between majors, 14 years between Masters titles, and won.
It was the greatest comeback in the history of American sports.
You could make an argument.
Yeah, the personal comeback. He didn't mean, you know, down a couple strokes. He meant a personal comeback. Yeah, it is really remarkable when you think about what he did. And it is, people love seeing greatness, and that's what it is. And he has a chance. He's three majors shy of Jack's record, so he has a chance to achieve that. But it's amazing just how many people love him. Because it's one thing if he was on a team and you say, well, that's my team, I'm going to embrace this guy anyway. But when you're on an individual sport, you need to be that dominant in order to get everybody to care about you. Because if you added up the next nine best golfers and like with their fan bases, even if I gave you Phil, wouldn't even come close to a fraction of what it is the fan base of Tiger Woods.
What else you got?
So today is Bill Belichick's 67th birthday.
Happy birthday, Bill.
Happy birthday, Bill. And 19 years ago today, he gave all of us a birthday present.
Tom Brady, the quarterback who all he did was lead this football team, put them in the right position
accurate. It was a very catchable ball. He already knows when to take a little off as well. And that's the key. And he stands in that pocket very tough. He'll take a hit. Question's going to be mobility. Only runs a 5'2", 5'40". And, of course, when you have those edge pass rushers, you have to avoid the initial defensive end, the initial pass rusher. Can he do that at the pro level?
So today, Tom,
can he do it?
Can he? Well, apparently,
maybe.
He even improved somewhat. So today, Tom Brady took to Twitter, now that he's on Twitter.
He certainly is.
He tweeted out that great combine photo of him standing there in his boxer shorts.
It is a legendary photo.
Sunken chest photo.
Yeah.
And he tweeted out, 19 years ago today, the Patriots took a chance on the guy in this photo, me. With the number 199 yeah, in parentheses.
Oh, who the hell is that?
And then a laughing tears face.
That's funny.
He says, thank you to everyone who's helped me to prove them right. Also, did they stop taking these photos after mine?
You don't see a lot of other photos of guys at the combine just in their shorts. Although, what? DK Metcalf, I would have taken a peek at that.
Oh, come
you
down.
See that guy just in shorts?
Woo-hoo.
How many ounces of body fat do you think he has?
Zero.
None.
Yeah, that's zero.
How many did Tom Brady have in this photo? More than zero.
So who would win in a race? Tom Brady, Jermaine Wiggins, Alex Reamer.
Tom Brady.
Yeah.
His 5.25 would be faster than that
probably
stopwatch, hourglass-timed
Now, those guys were also in jeans. You got to get, to be fair, it's hard to run in jeans.
I said to Reamer this morning, how can he be that slow?
Who, he or Wiggy?
No,
it was a dead Reamer. Heat. It was a dead heat, though.
Jermaine Wiggins is a former professional athlete, when he used to play.
You think?
Alex Reamer weighs about 110.
Who's the fastest person at the station, you think? 40-yard dash. Not like running a marathon. Congratulations to Bradfoe, by the way. But in a 40-yard dash, who's the fastest at the station?
On air?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, give me a sales guy that people would know. Kidding me?
I'd say Fourier.
Probably still Fourier.
No, I'd say Lou. I think 48.
Oh,
he's
Lou.
Stiff.
How many career steals for Lou? Let's look that up.
14.
My money's on Glenn.
Look who it is. Wiggy's in the house for this afternoon, huh?
He's everywhere.
Celebrating his race victory for the weekend.
OMW.
Sounds like an old wrestling company.
So no F today? There's W instead of F
today? No F.
We got the F out.
Oh, I get it. Well done. I heard
very,
that.
Very smart.
All right, just found out breaking news. I guess Wiggy is replacing Fourier from here on out.
Permanently.
Oh, well. Now maybe I don't have
sources.
We got to get out of here. Those guys are coming up next in whatever order they want. Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye. Goodbye. Thank you for stopping by. Goodbye. 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 Thank you for stopping by.
It's Ordway, Maloney, and Fourier on the exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday. Sports Radio WEEI.
It's time to power up with a new Ram truck during the spring sales event at 495 Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram in Lowell. Take advantage of special pricing and generous factory rebates now. Save up to $11,000 on a new...
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.